And then you pick one of these, and this will be the next one. Okay, I'll read it. There you go. Give it up for Andrin. Woo! There you go. Great question. We didn't think it was a great question, and then we found out that it was. It's amazing how that happens. Thank you, Sinkheads. Bring it up, Special K. Come on, Special K. Come on, get into the big red chair.
Special right now.
And for this interpretation, we will be joined by Jeremy of the Stygian Port. Come on up, Jeremy of the Stygian Port, to help with the interpretation. Jeremy, would you hand Special K the microphone while I tell Jeremy is one of the contributors to SyncBook Volume 1, which is why we have that displayed. He also is an active blogger, podcaster, and something of a major figure in the realm of sync research. So you're going to have his help with the interpretation, Special
La.
K.
Ooh
so,
la.
Special
Ooh
K,
la.
You have a massive question.
Ha, ha.
No, three, actually.
Okay, well, you're going to have to pick one out of the three.
I will.
Actually, you know what? I'm not even looked at it. You're question number three, so you should ask question number three.
I like threes a lot. Threes are magical and special. So where's the best place to get away from it all? Where's the best place to get away from it all?
Where is the best place
to
get
away
from it all?
Yes.
Okay, so pick a card, any card, and display it to the audience so that we can see. Song number two.
Dus.
Which is Ship in a Bottle.
Ooh la la. Ooh la la.
I'm scared.
hoist her tattered sail, and your ocean is wide and green, and served in a barrel, the pride of Old Farrell Street, pouring you out in the foam, finally free. Finally home. Carry me home to the love that I know must be waiting for me at the end of the sea. And I packed my belongings and said my goodbyes. The ship in the bar is ready to ride the wave.
Ship in a Bottle from Ira Marlowe. Looking for it on a record, or
that is on the Save the Day CD.
On the Save the Day CD, which is available here for sale. That was the answer to Special K's question: where is the best place to get away from it all? So yeah, well then give Special K or the mic. Give us your interpretation. Really, you get to take the first.
I feel like it means that the best place to get away from it all is always changing, and it's always different. It's transient, and it's something that looks tiny, but it's actually complicated and has minuscule detail. It's very detailed and intricate and amazing and profound.
Ira, what about you? What did you
think
about?
Isn't the answer just booze?
Yeah. I wanted to say booze, but I'm a boozeaholic, so I try to be deeper than that.
What do you do with a drunken sailor?
I tend to think, like, whenever I draw a tarot card and I ask about the future, like, it always tells me exactly where I am right now.
That's exactly what it is.
It's an examination of the self.
Give her the mic if she's going to be talking.
Yeah.
Sorry, I talk a lot.
Sorry.
It's an examination of what's going on within you. It's just helping you, like, make it external as opposed to, like...
So let's wait. But you, you got that it was alcohol.
Well, duh.
I'm not saying it's not. Yeah. I'm not saying it's not.
Well,
it seemed like a very succinct, succinct answer to her question.
I'm not saying it's not alcohol. I'm saying that it's always changing,
but
and that it's
alcohol. There are lots of different alcohols you can choose. You're saying.
Indeed.
So.
And I've tried them.
Jeremy, what did you think about that? Throw us a curveball here.
Well, everything's a movie reference for me, and I'm sure some people had the same idea, but there's a line at the end of The Sea, which made me think of The Truman Show, when he hits the wall at the end of the ocean. And while he's out there on the storm, he's singing, "What do you do with a drunken sailor?" So it's about booze. There's someone waiting for me on the other side, I think, and his true love was out there waiting, and he went through the door in the wall. And then the other movie that kind of sprang into mind was Ask Your Bartender What to Remember, and I just thought of The Shining, of course. And I don't know what that says about getting it away from, I wouldn't go to the cabin and be a caretaker.
Words of wisdom, Lloyd.
But the whole Truman Show getting away from it all, I mean, I see the large picture of actually getting outside the box, like completely, not just outside of your own head or your own cultural upbringing, but totally revolutionize the way you see the world and totally get outside the Xbox dome that Truman's trapped in. Go beyond, one step beyond, with some booze.
Can you ask him what the name of his blog means?
Oh yeah, what is the meaning of Stygian Port? Because we have that sounds like, first of all, it sounds like an alcohol and also a place that a ship might land. Thank you, Alan.
Yes, thank you, Alan.
What's the origin of it?
The origin's basically, I was looking for originally something that meant like a doorway, a portal, like portal into your unconscious or to the subconscious is the underworld and that kind of thing, and Stygian, River Styx, and I kind of just all that theme of getting into the flow of the undercurrent of sort of the unconscious. Right brain kind of activity, right brain thinking.
Yeah, that was what I got out of it. I mean, obviously the alcohol thing, but alcohol I mean, when you're talking about alcohol in terms of a ship in a bottle, you're talking about this, just this watery, like there's all these watery images of emotion, like emotional, like the cups suit in the tarot deck. And, you know, that, so where is the place to go to get away from it all is the place of sort of a deep emotional truth. And, you know, for a lot of us, alcohol is a facilitator of that to a certain degree. It's a portal. Right. It's a portal in that bottle. So I guess I just took it to the essential thing of just those watery emotional, that place of emotional truth. Do you have one thing you wanted to say,
no.
Jim?
No, he's passing it to me.
Oh, okay. Cool. Did you have one more thing?
No one wants to hear me talk, I guess.
Oh, we do. Sure. I just wanted to get everyone.
I have a tarot deck. One of my tarot deck's bottles is the cup suit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And what I'm trying to get away from is emotional, so.
Stay sitting, because you're going to have to pick the next person. So, first of all, thank you, Jeremy, for helping out with this. Please check out the Stick. Give it up for Jeremy. And now, Special K, you get to pick the next contestant in this Price is Always Weird. And so, Special K, pick... Okay, and I'll read it. Give it up for Special K. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Not only did she ask a great question, but she helped him with a lot with setup, and she's like, obviously, that loves stands, being on stage.
That stands for Kai Temna.
Okay, so the next question. How you feeling, Ira? You having good? You having a good time? Cool. Thanks for being here in your place. No, in your establishment.
Yeah.
Coming all the way out of your bedroom to come to be here. Let's bring up Shannon. Shannon. Come on up, Shannon. Have a seat in the fabulous red chair, Shannon. And let's bring up our next sync interpreter. You see his artwork? David Plate. You've heard him interpret before because he's a man who can't contain himself. He is always recording. He is the co-host of Always Record. And you may know him as MK Ultrasound, the creator of many fantastic sync films, and it's an honor to have him here. Give it up one more time. David Plate. Okay, so would you give Shannon the microphone? Let me see. To tell you very quickly about the sync movement, Shannon asked, please speak into the mic when you talk on stage.
I was saying I don't know anything about the sync movement. I'm a complete...
Well, it all began... It all began with a guy named Carl Jung who came up with the term synchronicity. Before that, synchronicity was just something that happened that other people had other names for. And sometime in the last 12 to 13 years, a lot of people inspired by going down the rabbit hole of September 11th and exploring conspiracy theories to the point where they realized that there is even more weirdness going on than could possibly be encoded into any conspiracy theory. People like Jake Kotza and many others started to make films exploring synchronicity in media, maybe predicting trends or reflecting trends in human consciousness. And I am probably not giving the best interpretation, the best historical look at this. The best place to explore this would be to check out thesyncbook.com. There are copious sync films to check out there and sync links. But mostly it's a bunch of people who are inspired by the potential, the artistic potential of synchronicity. And this, Alan's great interpretation, great description of synchronicity is that, as you heard, synchronicity is meaningful coincidence. And the movement of synchronicity is just people looking for that and using that in artistic ways. Like this beautiful artwork behind us, and if you could really see it, and you could go back in the hall and look at all of it, you see that what David is doing is bringing together sacred imagery with, I would say, you know, profane in the classic sense imagery, like media imagery, to express something that is larger and maybe gets at a deeper truth than is reflected either in, you know, what maybe would see people might see as dead religions or totally salacious pop material. But what we're really here to do is to answer your question, which is another manifestation of sync art, which is taking people's real questions and putting them together with the profane pop art of people like Ira or myself and other artists who are out there trying to, you know, sell you RCDs and get in your bedrooms. And but behind that, there is something sacred that comes out when we put it together with your heartfelt questions. I mean, I guess I was just projecting that onto you, Ira, but...
Well, you just had the order wrong as far as the bedrooms.
Got it. So now, Shannon, now that you've asked that question, what is your question for the Pop Oracle?
Should I continue to work downtown for the slick firm, or should I stake out on my own, strike out on my own?
Stay with the slick firm.
Should I continue to work downtown for the slick firm, or should I strike out on my own?
Right on. Well, really, don't we go let the Pop Oracle answer?
Really quickly, though.
Here, give her the mic.
What is the slick firm? Just out of curiosity. I'm not from Berkeley, so I'm just curious.
The slick firm is a slick firm downtown San Francisco.
She doesn't want to give out the name because she doesn't want to get fired.
No,
it's a firm.
It's a
law
firm.
It's a firm.
Of professionals.
Okay, maybe it was the name of a bar or something. I don't know. Sorry. I'd go to the slick firm.
Okay, so should you stay with devolving?
Oh, can I say something quickly about Morrissey? I think that he would... I think that he would... I mean, the Sister Sarah song, I think that just being a huge fan of him, I think that he would love the association of being associated in any way with a dubious fortune teller. I think he would love that. He's the gay Elvis, and he's a celibate, and so he's a nun and a whore, and I think he would love that.
That's great. We knew we'd get an answer. That's awesome. Okay, so Shannon, are you ready to pick a card, any card, and see what
yes.
your answer is going to be? Okay. Hold it up so everyone can see.
Five.
Song number five, the answer to should you stay with the slick firm or go out on your own, the song Neverland Girl from Ira Marlow.
Stay a kid forever. You don't have to be so clever. Just hold your breath till your time blows. It's easy to fly when you're matching the sky. Every dream would almost seem true. If you never want to grow older up, just find yourself a perfect place in time, where everything's simple. The only part that's rough is watching all the years as they go by. So won't you come down, Neverland girl? Won't you come down here with me on the ground? There's a whole new world stretching out far as I can see. Stay a kid forever. Stay a kid forever. I suppose it's almost worth a try. With bright paper moons and hollow balloons, heaven knows it's lonely in the sky. So won't you come down, Neverland girl? Won't you come down stretching out far as I can see. Far as I can see, you'll still believe. Far as I can tell, I'm still believe. Forever. You don't have to be so clever. All you need's a dream without a plan. Never in doubt, how's that working out? And how much good is flying if you never get to land? Won't you come down? Neverland, girl, won't you come down? Stay with me on the ground. It's a whole new world stretching out far as I can see. Far as I can see. Far as I can see.
And that was Neverland Girl from Ira Marlowe. The answer to Shannon's question, should she stick with the slick firm downtown or go it on her own? Is that on a CD?
It will be.
It will be.
If you sign the mailing list, I will send it to you.
So, Shannon, did you want to take the first stab at interpreting that?
It couldn't have possibly been more poignant.
So you could you give us a little bit more than that?
No.
That's when you know we got a very true answer, when it's too close to home. Okay, so Ira, what did you?
I felt a little bad singing that song because we're all pulling for you, Shannon, to leave the fucking disgusting corporate firm. And I think to me the message is not that you shouldn't leave it, but just that you got to have a plan. Just that you got to get your ducks in a row and really think about it and really think things through, because you are leaving. You would be leaving a very secure place, and so that's my interpretation.
So the song is kind of more of a cautionary tale to the Neverland girl.
Right. It's basically
she's a girl who's living as if she had gone out on her own, and you're the guy saying, you know, you're gonna end up like us.
Well, I actually managed to meet a woman who's far more of a Peter Pan than I will ever be, which says something.
Yes, it is.
And so it was sort of saying, hey, you know, I know what it's like, and if you ever feel like, you know, getting real, I'm here.
Awesome. You know? I get it. So, David.
Yes.
You were never at a loss for an interpretation. And it is always profound, deep, interesting, and grounded in your esoteric studies. Not to say that you are part of a cult in any way.
I am, kind of.
Okay,
but
yes.
Whatever.
So, David Plate, what do you have? What do you have?
Okay,
Shannon,
well,
the
there's so much, and I don't.
There always is.
I don't completely know where to start, but I would qualify things by saying what I say before I ever give tarot readings, which is I don't do fortune telling, so I would never tell you what to do or not to do in your life, and that is completely up to you. And anything I say, you can fucking take or leave. But, you know, and I don't even know if I'm going to give you anything that's of any value to you anyway, because I'm going to personalize this. But so me, Alan shows up in town, and we go for a walk on the beach. First thing, we go walk towards town. And I'm telling him about how they do showings of The Lost Boys on the beach in Santa Cruz, right where they filmed The Lost Boys. And so, and then that night, we watch a film by Lars von Trier called Melancholia with the Smashing Pumpkins album Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, which has Kiefer Sutherland in it, who's this vampire in The Lost Boys. Now, The Lost Boys gets its name from Peter Pan. And I have this whole thing with, like, that the vampires never grow old, they never die, but they must feed. Pan, the god Pan, it literally means the all, and he is the feeder. And so there's this whole thing of, like, I have an ongoing joke, and I said it outside just earlier tonight, that however you slice the pizza, it's still going to be pizza, even if it's Pan pizza. And meaning that if it's the all, you can't take away from it and you can't add to it, meaning that whatever the fuck you do, you can't go wrong. And when I was listening to the song here initially, I was interpreting it as, you know, not, I didn't see it as like that finding practicality coming down to earth. I saw it as like magic, like we can create magic together. It's obviously like Wendy, I would think of as the Neverland Girl, yeah, from Peter Pan. We're just mentioned The Shining. A lot of us here are obsessed with The Shining. We relate to it on our own terms, in terms of the archetypes that show up. Wendy is a name that was made specifically for Peter Pan. Wendy didn't exist before Peter Pan. It is a Peter Pan name. And so the little boy in the film is named Dan. If you flip the D, if it's lowercase, you get Pan. And so you have the labyrinth that Jack chases Danny through, and you have Pan's Labyrinth, right? So it's kind of a trip. I could keep going. I'm not going to.
Go.
All right. Well, I think, yeah, whatever. I mean, basically, what I just recently, right before Alan showed up, I did a Photoshop image of, there's a really shitty film called Dan in Real Life, and I took Danny from The Shining and put, so it's I forget the name of the actor. What's that?
Steven Carell.
He's got his head sideways on a stack of pancakes, right? And it's Dan in Real Life. So you have Dan and Pan together as a stack of pancakes. And I put Danny Lloyd's face, who's a little boy in The Shining, screaming on top of the pancakes, and wrote Dan in Real Life because his name is fucking Danny in Real Life, and he's Danny in the film. Just like Jack Nicholson is Jack in the film, and he's Jack in Real Life. And so he's like screaming about Danny in Real Life, which is why that kid probably never did anything else. He was completely fucking traumatized about the trip out that that created. Anyways,
we are going to make this into a podcast. If you listen to this rant and look at one of David Plate's pieces of artwork, it will be like one of David Plate's other works of art, which is like taking music and films. He was talking about running Melancholia with Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins.
If you're going to try to start at the 24th second of the film exactly, just so you know.
Yes.
And replay the first song, which is the title song, again at the end.
It takes this kind of mind to create this kind of art, so thank you for demonstrating the divine madness of sync. And it's a great answer to your question, Shannon, your initial question, which is what, you don't have to get up, you should stay here for 1 second. I know you really want to get, like, this is what happens when we start talking to people. They want to get up and leave.
I got one more thing. And that's that you're talking about a law firm. And one of, or a law firm, you're talking about a bar called
firm?
The Slick Firm.
No, and I'd like to add, they're not evil.
Okay, good.
They're actually Jedis. I love them, and I'm
corporate,
that's why
Jedis.
That's why it's kind of a question.
But it is a law firm.
No.
Oh, it's not a law firm.
A firm.
She said
a
it
firm.
Wasn't evil.
There's
Jesus
plenty
Christ.
Of firms.
There. Okay. Okay. I'm firm right now. All right. Never mind. Forget
okay.
The whole thing.
No.
Whatever.
No. It's a, thank you very much, David. So give it up for David Plate.
Hey, David!
Go check out his art. Listen to him on Always Record. Give it up for Shannon for asking a question. I think that there was an inside thing that was going on there that is pretty cool. Now, our next guest is not a very cute puppy, although it's sort of like it's fun to have. This is, you know, this, you know what the name of this dog is? POTUS. The President of the United States, right here. Now, I want to introduce our featured guest, our celebrity sink, if you will. She is the author of Gothica and The Secret Life of Puppets. She is a local resident, and so it's very special that she gets to join us here as a part of this Bay Area Sync Summit and Radio 8 Ball. Give it up for Victoria Nelson. Victoria, come on up. Have a seat in the magical red chair. So, welcome to Radio 8 Ball, Victoria.
Great to be here.
Are you enjoying yourself?
I'm very much enjoying myself, and especially I'm enjoying Ira's beautiful songs, actually.
They're amazing. I've loved them for many years. So, Victoria, could you tell us a little bit about the work you do, particularly around your book, Gothica?
Yeah. Okay, well, I think maybe the best way into it is to start with some synchronicities, and I'm really down on synchronicities. Gothica is a book that came out last year, and it's the kind of companion book or son of an earlier book I wrote called The Secret Life of Puppets. The last chapter of The Secret Life of Puppets is called A Door in the Sky, and it has the wonderful image from The Truman Show where he goes off into the sky. I also just, it's not in Gothica, but I just finished a really long and tortuous essay on Melancholia, which is one of my very favorite movies. I'm a huge Lars von Trier fan. Both of these books are really, what they're about is looking at pop culture and all the artifacts and stories and things that we're all so deeply immersed in as a repository of a lot of stuff that kind of mainland, I used to live in Hawaii, mainstream U.S. Intellectuals and, you know, New York Times et al. Tend to look down on as a repository of, in particular, spirituality and the sacred. And it's something that you're not supposed to really talk about, you know, especially in college or graduate school or whatever. You just get laughed out of class. People used to think that sex was the great taboo, but I think religion is really the great taboo in our culture. And I just got really fascinated by what I thought is kind of like a theological, a low-level theological rumbling that runs through all kinds of unexpected places. Philip K. Dick was the person who said, if you want to find the divine, you have to look for it in the trash. So I started poking around in the trash, and I guess my starting point was the horror writer H.P. Lovecraft, and I'm probably the only female who's ever written much about Lovecraft. I went to a reading here. The great Lovecraft scholar S.T. Josey came to San Francisco, and so I was bound and determined to go to his reading, and I did, and it was really an epiphany because I realized what a guy feels like at an Adrian Rich poetry reading, because I was the only woman there. So it's funny how this gender thing in horror used to play out. It's changing a lot now. But horror fiction and horror film is a place where you feel terror. And in the very old days, terror was very much connected with the experience, the mystical experience of the sacred. And there's a whole historical thing that goes along with it, but I kind of like to compress it, and I'm sure all the sync heads will really appreciate this. I like to compress it into the transition in the English language from full of awe to awful, because the word awful really does come from awe, A-W-E. So anyway, so that got me going on that. Gothica is really about a Secret Life of Puppets stops on a dime in 1999. Gothica takes up the 21st century, and what I'm finding really interesting in the last decade is that a lot of the dark supernatural has gotten really bright. And a prime example, of course, is the Twilight series and the sparkling vampires, the good vampires, the ethical vampires. The sparkling bodies of the vampires, of course, are their diamond astral bodies. I mean, you can find all of the correspondences in Tibetan Buddhism. And Stephanie Meyer, who is Mormon, really was drawing on some sort of deep Mormon tenets in constructing these perfect immortals who are so beautiful and so good, and live this kind of perfected life on Earth in their own earthly bodies. And it's a very old religious tradition. So I've been looking at things like that, and because it seems as if the supernatural in our culture is now changing into something that's really lighter. And if you think of it as people trying to construct new religions, which I do think is really going on, you see that on one hand you have like the three bright gods of the Protestant Christian culture, Jesus, God, and the Holy Ghost, these bright male gods. And from underneath, you're getting this kind of Hindu-like or sort of old-style Roman Catholic thing of monster gods, good and bad gods, pantheons that come up in graphic novels, in films, and so on and so on. So that's what Gothica is really all about.
Well, that's perfect. Give it up. That's great. I highly encourage you to check out the book.
To hear Victoria Nelson's question for the Pop Oracle and the conclusion of the Radio 8 Ball Show at the 2013 Bay Area Sync Summit, please click on Part 3 of this podcast.